Good morning. You guys can all take a seat. I've been asked to speak this morning, so I have a couple things I'd like to talk about. God has entrusted us with an amazing opportunity to be a church in this place and time in the history of Glassboro. God has brought the Roan campus right to our doorsteps. There are about 1,500 students closer to us than they are to their classes. There's about 18,000 students, faculty, and staff that are brought into our communities each year because of Roan. God is moving at Roan, and Dinner Church is one of the ways that St. Thomas is participating in God's work. Every Wednesday night, 10 to 20 people gather in prayer, song, Bible study, fellowship, all rolled into one, and of course, there's a tasty meal too. God has brought the existence of the Interfaith and Spiritual Exploration Center that actively wants us to celebrate liturgies on campus and advertise other events that we offer here at St. Thomas. We are not alone in this work either. This opportunity has brought together four churches and counting that have come together to work with us. I've been a member of this church my entire life. Growing up, I have felt God's love and presence in this place, and that's in large part because of each and every one of you in these pews. You've given me the knowledge to know that I will always have God in my corner. We have that same opportunity to show that love to the thousands of students across the street from us at this very moment. Your pledges signify your affirmation of and desire to participate in what God is doing through St. Thomas, and I hope you all will continue to help in doing God's work. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Dan. As you heard Dan mentioned, we are in the midst of our annual stewardship campaign, which will end next Sunday, the last Sunday of the church's year. On that day, we will receive all the pledge cards, not yet turning, place them on the altar and bless them. In a sense, we will be celebrating our offering. Next week, when we observe Christ the King's Sunday, we will be acknowledging that everything we have, all our blessings, are truly gifts from a generous God. And as the songwriter reminds us, we must praise God from whom all blessings flow. But some of us may not know or may have forgotten that. So once a year, the church undertakes a stewardship campaign to remind us of the gifts from a loving God, and that our celebration of those gifts, the offerings, should not be seen as an unnecessary interruption to the spiritual flow of worship. You see, celebrating our giving is an important biblical part of worship. It gives us a chance to focus on giving thanks and giving back to the God who has so generously given to us. That is the meaning of the story of the poor widow's offering, which we read at the beginning of today's gospel. Luke tells us that as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, Jesus said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. The Apostle Paul encourages believers to give He says, each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able, my friends, to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As believers, we give in response to God's generosity. Our giving is an experience, an expression of joy and gratitude for God's goodness to us. Truly, my brothers and sisters, there is joy in giving. There is joy in stewardship. You know, some years ago, my mother passed, but I always knew, and she always expressed that joy in sharing, in giving. As poor as we were, with 10 children, my dad and my mom, we lived in this small house, but she would welcome people and share the little that we had to eat. The kids didn't like that, because that means we didn't have enough to eat ourselves. But my mom would always share and give to others what we had to eat. I wondered at the time, and I didn't understand why she did that, but now I know that there was this joy in her heart to share what we had, what she had, and the blessings I'm now enjoying as I stand in this pulpit. I can tell you that I have been blessed because of what my mom did. That blessing has passed on to us, the children. And I'm thankful to God that when my mom did that, she realized that in sharing the joy, what she had, that joy, that the blessing will abound. My friends, the believer knows about the blessings that we get from giving. We should give to support God's work here on earth through the ministries of the church. You see, for the early Christians, it was to support the temple. So they gave money to the treasury for the upkeep and maintenance of the temple. Some of the early believers thought building and maintaining the temple was more important than worshiping. So when some were speaking about the temple, as we read in the gospel, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus predicted its destruction. He said, as for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. In other words, the beauty and the magnificence of the temple are not all that important and will not last forever. What will last, my friends, is the word of God. The temple, you see, he says, will be destroyed. But the word of God will last forever. Apparently, the followers did not understand the importance of worshiping God, which takes place, of course, in the church and in the temple. So they asked Jesus, when will this be? When will this destruction of the temple take place? And what will be the signs that this is about to take place? You see, my friends, Jesus had earlier in this scripture lesson told them about this, the importance of giving. This widow, this poor woman, who needed much more, gave, not reluctantly, but she gave willingly, joyfully, she gave to the upkeep of this ministry. The poor widow's offering was sacrificial and one of proportion. The rich may have given all that they had, or most of what they had, because they still had more, but this widow put in everything. All she had to live on. The question for us this morning, how might you and I give? How might you and I contribute to the work of the church? God commends giving in faith as the poor widow did. You see, she was poor, in need of receiving charity, yet she had a heart to give. And even though her gifts was small, she gave it in faith that God could use it, that the church could use it. The widow's faith is also evident in the fact that she gave the last, the last of her money. Like the widow of Zarephath, who gave her last meal to the prophet Elijah, the widow in the temple gave away her last means of self-support. Now, the Bible doesn't tell me what happened to this woman, but I don't think that she left the temple completely destitute. Oh, no. Because the Bible also tells me that God, our God, provides for our needs. And I believe that God took care of this woman. And God promises to provide for us as well. The truth is that the church grows in generosity when stewardship is preached, taught, and embraced, and even celebrated. The joy of giving, the joy of stewardship. But for the celebration to occur, a process of transformation must take place. That transformation will only be possible if our faith informs the way we live, including how much we spend and we give to the church. So it is not merely a coincidence, you see, that the children from our church school will be out with us today, this morning, during the stewardship season. Because they understand, and we understand, that the Word of God informs our living and our faith. So during this service, we will give our Bibles to some of the children to encourage them to read, to mark, learn, and inwardly digest the living Word of God, which is so very important for our spiritual growth and transformation. Now, I know that most, if not all of us, have at least one Bible at home, right? Some of us may have more Bibles than TVs in our homes, but probably don't read any as much as we watch TV. Amen? But reading the Word of God, the Bible, is so very important that we ought to make it a daily practice. And today, with smartphones, tablets, and laptops, the Bible is so easily available and accessible. Recently, my wife Vivian downloaded on my smartphone a Bible app. And this app provides me scripture, words of inspiration, and prayers, morning, noon, and night. So I won't forget to read or to even pray. Thank you, Vivian. My prayer, my friends, is that you too will cultivate the practice or the attitude to read your Bible, as we are now encouraging these children to read their Bibles, to learn from the Bible. And my prayer is that all of us will devote more time to reading and studying the Bible, so that we will grow in our faith and be transformed into faithful followers of Jesus, who knows the joy of giving your time, talent, and treasure to support the various ministries of St. Thomas Church, Glassboro. Amen.